When we were planning the symposium for growing churches, Donald and I were jawboning one evening in the office about who we were going to get, what we were going to do, and both of us practically at the same moment blurted out Bill Parson, and we knew that was definitely the inspiration of God. And so the scales fell from our eyes, and we could see clearly, and here he is, Bill Parson, pastor from North Carolina.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and to all of you, good evening. You can say good evening.
Good evening.
Good
evening.
Good.
He's risen.
I knew I was in the presence of Lutherans, okay? That's important. I wanted to check you out and make sure we're on the same frequency, okay? Now, what I want to do in the time, I was going to talk about how to remain Lutheran in crisis situations. On the plane today, I was thinking how to remain Lutheran when one wheel doesn't come down. Tremendous threat. But at the same time, the blessed assurance that the Lord is with us, and that makes such a significant difference. It's exciting for me to be here and to see friends, folk that I love and who love me, and we've had good times together. Some of you have seen, some I have not. That's all right. What I want to do in the brief time that I share with you and then open it up for questions and answers, which I thoroughly enjoy, is begin. And I've got a couple of things. My wife says, whenever you want to get some specific points across, write them down. Otherwise, you talk on and folk forget. I want to start by saying to you, 70 and approximately 1 year ago, our forefathers, Lutheran forefathers, you know my name is William, right? In German, that's what?
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm, right? Okay. From the south, Wilhelm, north, Wilhelm. Okay? Now, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new synod conceived in religious liberty and dedicated to the proposition that the symbolical books of Lutheranism were standard and should be adhered to and should be used in conjunction with an understanding of the scriptures. And therefore, these men and these women, starting in Prussia, Saxony, Berlin, or wherever, were so desirous of maintaining the purity of the scriptures that they finally were willing to give up home, family relationships, and whatever else in order to persevere and to follow through. It is in that vein that I want to carry you back to the time that Napoleon, went into the land of Prussia. You remember what happened? How they dominated and broke the spirit of the Prussians for a short period of time. But how even in the midst of that, there was one young, bold preacher who came to the forefront. Who knows who I'm talking about? Preached. Dealt with politics. I think his name was Schleiermacher, right? Friedrich? Which one? Well, whichever. He began to call the Lutherans back to what they had kind of moved away from. And that is that the old Lutheran hymns, the old Lutheran understandings about studying the Word of God, were not as bad as the Reformed folk had said. And that prayer and scripture reading was, in fact, a foundational principle to be used in the church. Now, there was a king during that time named Frederick Wilhelm III. Am I right? I'm talking to Lutheran pastors, right? Okay. Hey, you guys know this, and the wives support you. The thing is, he was so pleased with, by the way, the Prussians, the Russians beat Napoleon. The Prussians took courage from that, took up arms, prayed over the arms, something they hadn't done, and then they were victorious in their own land.
The king was so elated. He said, let's have a celebration and let's bring together all of God's people. So the Reformed and the Lutherans came together. Some problems at first. He said, let's have a communion together. You know what happened? There was. He said, they were ready to throw out the name Lutheran, Schleiermacher and a number of other Lutherans in Berlin, throw out the name Lutheran, and the Reformed were going to throw out the name Reformed. They were going to become evangelicals, right? And then the king did it. He messed with page 5 and 15. He said, let's have one liturgy. And the pastor said, no way. And his name wasn't even Jose, but no way. Okay? He said, I'm the king, and the Pope has agreed, and therefore, now this is a little modifying and editorializing the history, just a little bit. He spoke in German, I'm speaking English. We'll do it. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. Oh, yes, oh, no, we're not. We are not going to have a specific liturgy. Now, we're willing to change names. We're willing to do a number of different things. We're willing to commune together for those who believe the same. But we're not. From that, he began persecution. People began to be harassed, put in prison, had their properties taken away. Some were killed. But they held on to the belief, we will not acquiesce and have a specific liturgy. You can't tell us that. Well, meanwhile, further north, in northern Germany, there was a man named Harms. And he was of the old school, the old Lutherans. And his position was, along with a number of others, not only will we not do the liturgy, but we will retain and maintain the basic principles that we have held as Lutherans. And through it all, this is our position. Well, there were two fractions, but they were both being persecuted. Wilhelm III was a tenacious ruler. But you know what happens to people after a while? They die. He died. Wilhelm IV was more lenient. He allowed the Lutherans who were dissatisfied with the status quo to go to that place called America. And so, your forefathers and mothers, ours, collectively, us Lutherans, came to America, settled, as you know, in this Perry County, Missouri, and so forth, but it became the German Evangelical Lutheran Synod, Ohio, who else? Missouri, Ohio, and other states, including Indiana. Who came from Michigan? The Franconians. Who came from Indiana? Somebody came from Indiana. You're right. That's close. It starts with an H. Yeah, that's your quiz question. Together, these men formed the Senate. Now, it's interesting that the disagreement didn't start here in America, but way back there in the fatherland, the motherland, the parent land. Since that time, Lutherans have been privileged to have something. You know, I asked a group of pastors not long ago, what makes us Lutheran? Somebody said, St. Louis. That's a very valid question. And people who come into our congregation in North Carolina, I'm from Winston-Salem, North Carolina just now, among other places. My home is there. My wife is there. What makes us Lutheran? What's the difference in a Lutheran and a Baptist? Somebody said, well, we have a liturgy. Folks, what does the word liturgy mean? And I've heard folks say, the Baptists don't have a liturgy. Don't you believe it? A liturgy is a rite or a group, a system of rites used in public worship, Baptists have a liturgy. Holiness have a liturgy. Methodists have, Episcopalians, the Friends have a liturgy.
The reason I know is because before I became Lutheran, I tried out a number of different denominations. Let me tell you a couple of things about myself. My name is William T. Parson. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. God had a use for me when I did not have a use for me. My wife and I, with two little girls, dissatisfied in the church that we were in, missed the bus one day and became Lutherans. Okay? Down the street from where we lived was this quaint little building. We never saw anybody go in, we never saw anybody come out. No movement. Somehow, miraculously, the grass got cut. The windows were intact, so we knew there must be some out of there that folk liked in that community. But when we missed the bus, we started home, and she said, "You remember that little building down the street?" "Yeah." "Why don't we check it out? We never see anybody. Let's just check it out anyway, since we're dressed and so forth." So we went in. Jim Miller, whose name is Mueller, but he Americanized it and said Miller, you know, you can do that when you're Lutheran, was preaching about the love of God in Jesus Christ. And he was at a point in the sermon where normally the pastors that I was accustomed to would be speaking at a level now where you'd have to be able to speak in tongues or something else to understand them. Because as some told me, it isn't so much the understanding, it's the emotive level. And this is the truth, because I was being groomed to be a pastor in several Baptist churches. I remember I worked as a doorman once for a rich organization in Norfolk when I was working my way through college. And I walked by an Episcopal church, and the, I think it's a rector call, but anyway, he came to the door and said, "You're Parson, aren't you? I've heard you want to go to the seminary. How'd you like to go to our seminary?" And I said, "You don't, I beg your pardon? You don't know me." He said, "It doesn't make a difference. We're looking for black folk to go to the seminary." I said, "I have any money. You don't have to worry about that. Don't you know what our church is?" "Episcopal church." "Oh, that's the money church." "Sure, no problem." I said, "But I have a wife and three daughters now." And he said, "No problem. We'll cover the whole." And I thought, "This is fantastic. What about my theology?" That was not the issue. You know, you'll be, so anyway, come back. Circle back. I'm standing at the doorway of this little church building. The preacher is preaching. He's preaching differently than what I was accustomed to. You see, I come out of a background of preachers who do various things with their voices, with their emotions, with the emotions of people. Kind of Italian. A few other things mixed in. He was different, and I understood what he was saying. And I thought, is this a church? What is this? Maybe he's making announcements. He was preaching. He paused and nodded, and then he went on to talk about the love of God in Jesus Christ. And I remember he talked about the law and the gospel. You know what? The law and the gospel. And after the service at the door, he said, "No strong arm tactics. We're accustomed to one offering." I was pleased with that. You know, the plate came one time. That was it. And I thought, no more, no more, once. At the door, he said something like, "We're very pleased to have you. And we hope you'll come back." And I was waiting for the other part of that. You know, where do you live and can we take you home and all that? It didn't come. And I thought, okay, all right. Well, this was very interesting. And I told him something like that. "This is very interesting. This is different than what I'm accustomed to." He said, "I imagine it may be." And you can ask him when I come out of a Baptist background. He smiled knowingly. And then that was it. Because I did want to know this. What is a white pastor doing in a black community? I did want to know that. All right. So I asked him. And he told me he was in ministry. Right? Now, this was back in the mid-60s. Some of you may be far removed from the mid-60s, but a lot of things were going on the East Coast at that point. Anyway, a couple of days later, telephone call.
We'd like to pop by and visit. No, no thank you. Okay, no problem. A little later on, another call. Sent layman. He didn't come. He sent layman by to talk to us. Not to strong arm us, but to share and to make some inquiries. Long story. Let me do this because it's a short time. He pressed the button that I had that was frustrating me, that it caused me to turn my back on the church, had caused me to move away and decide, forget God. And I've done it several times. That was, I wanted to learn, I wanted to know, I wanted to be free. Once I was with a group of pastors, Baptist pastors, and they had been drinking. And in the Baptist church many times, the premise is, drinking is a sin. So I asked the pastors, if drinking is a sin, because they invited me, have a drink. And I said, well, you know, I'm a good Baptist. I don't drink. Why are you drinking? And they said, oh, well, if a person can't handle alcohol, they shouldn't drink. When people have been taught traditionally that drinking is a sin, then for them it's a sin, and therefore we don't alter that. But we know it isn't. I said, well, then why don't you tell them it's not a sin? Oh, Bill, you don't understand. You're absolutely right. I call this two-facedness now. And then, of course, there was like, Bill, your name now is Mud, M-U-D. They did not, I got disinvited from meeting with them. Okay, and I'm serious, the Lord is my witness. But a number of those things had happened, and I was at a point where it was like, forget it. I'll be a religion unto myself. This little Lutheran church offered me an opportunity to begin to have what I had wanted all my life and didn't know, could not verbalize it. Nobody was telling me, but I desired to be free. Somehow in the back of my mind, I didn't believe that a person could earn his or her way to heaven. And yet work righteousness was so prevalent and still is, that I was deeply engrossed and caught up in that. There were a lot of misconceptions. There were a lot of unanswered questions. We had the King James Bible, no reference. I never know what's a reference. You know, it was like people would read and tell you what it meant. To disagree with them was sacrilegious. And I thought, well, there's got to be more. To be fairly intelligent, and I used to think I was until I became a Lutheran pastor, I thought, there has to be more. Well, there was something called confirmation. I beg your pardon? Confirmation. Adults go, that's something, kids do that. No, we want to carry you through a process, a religious education process. And you know, what happened, it was a sheltered congregation, it was different. But I went through, my wife went through, and we were pleased with what we were gaining and learning. We were pleased with the fact that we could then open a Bible and work with that Bible and use it and did not have to rely on someone to be right there telling us all the things that we had been told in the past, many of which were incorrect. I was very pleased with that. So he asked us about membership, and I said, I tell you what, we're looking for a church home. There are many things I don't know. And he said, don't confess anything you don't know. So we got on the topic of the symbolical books of Lutheranism. And he said, well, you'll be asked before the congregation if you adhere or uphold to those. And I said, well, what are they? Well, all good Lutherans know those. I wasn't a good Lutheran yet. There are six confessional, significant, how shall I say, posters in the Lutheran church. You know what they are? That the fathers and mothers came from overseas with and hold close to the heart. And you preach them, you teach them. You have them because God gave them. And a lot of folk have parts and bits and donut, but you know them, don't you? There are six of them coming right down the line out of the symbolical book of Lutheranism. Now I can talk about it now because God has blessed me. But when I stood up to become a Lutheran, I had not read all of the Book of Concord. And I told the pastor, I will agree with as much as I've read, because that's a good book. But I'm going to tell you and the congregation, the part I haven't read, I don't agree with.
I don't disagree, I just don't know. So I'm going to say, and I said it, insofar as what I've read, I agree with. He said, you're a good man, and honest, open. Then when I got to the sim, I read the Book of Concord, and I said, oh, in our congregation, we teach from the Book of Concord. We do classes on the book. And let me tell you, there are many things I could have left on that plane. But the one thing that hurt me was my Book of Concord that I left on that plane. I want you all to know that. Somebody got an extra one. Harold said he got one. Good. Because of what it has done, it has helped me understand some things. But anyway, that's... Had I gone... Now, I'm doing this quickly. There's a lot more to it. But had I gone to some of our Lutheran churches first, I don't think I would be Lutheran today, because the differences are so great. The feeling of uncomfortableness is so prevalent at times. There's just a difference. I've got, and this is not a judgment statement, it is a fact. There are people who have needs. You know, and I weigh that thing, and I've been weighing it because I do a number of things in our district and in our church, and God has used me. And sometimes I walk by and I look in the mirror and I do a second take. Lord, you're using me of all people. Why me? I'm fascinated. He has taken a reject, and he has made me into an instrument that he uses, as here this evening, to his glory. Because he says, Bill Parson, you've been in the pits. You've been at high places. You know some things. Talk to our people and tell them it's all right to be different, as long as you're Lutheran. And see, the thing I discovered is, a lot of folks don't know what a Lutheran is. And so they hold to things like, you must do our liturgy. You must have our... No, Luther never said that. And you know, then I began, I said, well, now Luther's an interesting man. I was reading some of his sermons. I was reading the sermons when the guy talked about the wheel not coming down on the plane. I was reading Luther today on the plane. I enjoy it, but I got this book, and I want to share with you a couple. I'm a consultant for Black ministry in our district. That's one of the things I do half-time, and I'm a half-time pastor, and I've been in many different things. Music. I have a removed cousin who came over on a boat from Germany. You can't tell it, but it okay? I didn't know it until I became Lutheran. And one of my relatives said, I said, well, we're a part of a Lutheran church. The what? The Lutheran church. What is that? That's the church, you know, predominantly German. Oh, German. Oh, you had a cousin that came over on a boat in North Carolina. Okay. That's not mine. I didn't do it. You didn't do it either. You are what you are by the grace of God. We all, with Paul, said, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Luther was a German, I think. Some of you in here are German. Some of you have different backgrounds. Some of us are multi-background. Multicultural. You understand that, don't you? I mean, we can choose and pick. I have this affinity for classical music, and I couldn't figure out Bach, Beethoven. I love them. I used to get in more fights when I was little because I'd be listening to them and the kids would catch me and then we'd have to fight, you know, just to prove that I couldn't figure out why, Lord, what, why me? Why do I like this? Why do I like country western music, some of it? Why do I like... And then I remember, because you're all mixed up. You know? And so you got all these genetic, and it's something else again. But what I want to point out to you in this is that Luther was a German, and Luther was a very concerned man, and I thank God for him. I admire Luther, and when I get to heaven, I want to talk with him about some of the things that he has done, because I felt that he did some very significant things. He was quite some man. But I don't wish to be a German. All right? I don't think Luther wants to be black if he was here today. And I don't think it's necessary for a Norwegian or anybody else to be anything other than what you are. And you know, in our churches,
The tendency is, we used to play a game in the streets that said, get like me. You anybody know about that game? Yeah, I know some of you all played it too. Okay, get like, be like me. And you do it with your fingers, you know. You can also do it with coins. The point of it is, if we understand the essence, go back to the purity. Dick Kanicki told me once down in Kannapolis. He said, Bill, I was going there to do a revival. We do revivals over. You do revivals out here too. You call them preaching, reaching, teaching, but we call them revivals. Same thing. Lord, and Isaiah said, will we be revived? Will you revive us today? That means, will you give us back the joy, the knowledge of what we have? Sure I will. If you just let your hearts be open, be still and know who I am. Well, Dick Kanicki told me once, Bill, I was getting ready to preach, and he said, we do not compromise word and sacrament. I was brand new down in North Carolina. I knew a lot of stuff. Just got in from the seminary. He said, we don't compromise word and sacrament. Everything else is adiaphora. Okay? Word and sacrament. What makes you Lutheran? Word, right dispensation of the sacrament. What else? Well, you got to start your service at 11. Does that make you Lutheran? And now we have a Lutheran Bible. I don't mean that. You know, we were taught, use as many translations, watch out for living, paraphrase, but as many translations as you can in order to understand God's word, then use the Greek and however much Hebrew you know. And then still approach it humbly, because men before you have spent their lives and don't understand. What makes you think you will all of a sudden, no matter what the seminary told you? Well, our gracious God has blessed us to be what we are and to get and capsulize the essence of our meeting here together. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I remember I told one of the profs, he said, you learn scripture? I said, no, I come out of a church that learns scripture and they use it and manipulate it. I'm not going to learn scripture. He said, it's yours. So I didn't. I stopped learning scripture. It didn't take long at the seminary to discover, though, wait a minute, learn scripture. Learn to quote it, because that's going to sustain you through it all. God's word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. You need that. So I'm back quoting scripture. Anyway, coming around again. What's the essence of being Lutheran? Your churches, wherever they are, could we go, could someone be of a different nationality, different ethnic background, and be comfortable in your congregation? What are you guarding where you are? Our congregation, we had a service. In fact, I couldn't even get to the district convention because I was busy saying farewell to a family going to Florida. And you know, our congregation gave them a meal much like this past Sunday. And they sat around and cried. And the people said, and they were LCA, who came to North Carolina from Maryland, rode by, and they said, again Sunday, because I asked them, how'd you end up here? We just happened to ride by and see your building. You think so? You don't think the Lord directed you here? Don't you know in all things, then I could quote scripture. Point. These LCA Lutherans came to a Missouri Synod congregation. Surprise! They thought all Lutherans were Lutherans. They didn't know any different. They made a discovery. Their eyes were open to realize some additional things about the scripture, to a point where when they're leaving now to go to Florida, because he's with AT&T and they're breaking up and sending people, the father, the mother, the son, and the daughter cried. And our congregation cried with them. And what they said was, you're family. And we're going to, and they have, and now God is my witness, the father has been to a Lutheran church in Florida, and he said it's not the same. Of course it's not the same. How many people are freed up to realize that if you come into my congregation, you can be who you are? I'm not going to make you what I am, because Luther didn't ever make... Let me read you something. Luther, talking about music. We'll use music. You know how you use these, and then you add and use it as an analogy or one of those big words. Luther criticized attempts to simplify and translate Latin text when he was making his move into German and retained the Latin chant unaltered. He said, some of you have read this, that the result doesn't sound polished or well done. Both text and notes, accent, melody, and manner of rendering ought to grow out of the true mother tongue and its inflection. Otherwise, all of it becomes an imitation after the manner of apes. This is a quote. Do you follow what I'm saying? Luther did not dare take the Latin tunes and thinking into the German church. Instead, he transferred it into the fatherland, into the mother tongue. And he did it boldly. And this little article talks about it at different points. This man developed German chants for the Germans. And the article says he went on to make Christianity and an understanding of the scriptures something palatable to the people for whom he was writing. What does that mean for our church today? My understanding is, and I believe Luther would say, ja, wohl. Whatever you are, have this, the knowledge that we're saved by grace and not by works. However, works follow grace as an automatic response to the great love God poured out through his son, Jesus Christ. We are a confessional church, and we don't apologize for being a confessional church. And we know how to say the Apostles' Creed. We know somewhat how to say the Nicene Creed. And we know that in the red hymnal on page 53 is the Athanasian Creed. We didn't get to the other ones yet. The other hymnals. We use them interchangeably. The joy is that we are not hesitant to confess, nor do we acquiesce. I say to my mom when she comes to visit us, you remember our policy on communion? Yes. Are you ready to accept what we believe? I'm not there. Then I will give you a hand blessing. What does that mean? I will put a hand on you and bless you. You are my mother, but when it comes to our understanding, I will say to you as I say to anybody else, only those who believe what we believe. What does that do to friendship? It shoots it in the head. What does that do to prestige? It means that you can't be prestigious because people come and say, I am Mr. Mrs. So-and-so, and you say, yes, and we're very pleased to have you. Do you believe what we believe? You're a little scrawny Lutheran church. We've got churches that we could put your whole congregation in our closet. And what are you saying? I'm saying, like Luther said, and I'm not talking about Martin Luther King yet, here we stand. As I told some folk recently, we aren't begging. We're going to carry you through a confirmation process before we receive you in as members. If at the conclusion of this, we're going to teach you about the six chief parts of scripture and some other things. If at the conclusion of this class, you are now ready to agree with what we're doing, then we will openly talk with you about membership. Prior to that, we aren't begging. And you know, one of the reputations is, you Lutherans take too long to receive folk in. And ours is, good things come to those who wait. No apologies. Now, admittedly, there are some other factors at work, and I mean it gets tight. But the beauty is to be Lutheran as I come to understand. You know, I remember we tried to recite the Declaration of Independence and some other things, and they're hard to do. Folk come from overseas, immigrants coming in, and they can just rattle those things. Coming into the Lutheran Church, I thank God that he helped me see from where I come from to where I am and where I'm headed, the beauty of what it means to be Lutheran. And it doesn't mean that I have to be anything other than what I am. And that as just as I am, the Lord takes me. Luther does a thing on hymnology in this. Many of you probably have seen it without going through that anymore. It's fascinating. But when I was at the seminary in Springfield, where I learned a great deal, some folks said to me, much of the singing you're accustomed to is not Christian, because it's not gospel. And then my question was, tell me what's gospel? Gospel is when a hymn talks about Jesus Christ and the love of God through him. Then, sir, I want to tell you and all the folk in this room, you should listen to what you're saying and do not judge what you have not come to know. There are churches that sing gospel music other than the Lutheran Church. There are hymns that have Christ lifted up in no uncertain terms. There are people in other denominations. We had a Moravian who came to a Bible class. His wife came because there were some problems. She came, it was next door, and we were dealing with marriage. How to cope with anything was the title of the class. Lutherans do this. And it was good to her, and she said, oh, I'm going to fix my husband. She invited him. He came. He became a member. She got mad. Because, you know, Paul, over in Ephesians 5:21 says, let me see. He says, you know, most people get 21 and don't ever read 20. You right? But 20 says, you know, because you talk about boss. Who's the boss? And the wife says, well, he thinks he's the boss, but I'm actually the boss. Or whatever. Lutheran wives don't say that. These are other folks. But I encouraged him, and I said to her, darling, read. And for you too, sir, read 20. What does it say? To one to another. Oh, King James, I like that. Oh, what does that mean? That means God is the boss. Jesus Christ is the head of the Christian family. That just blew her out of the water. He became a member. What he said was, I have searched all my life for a church in which I could grow, learn. He has purchased, you know, I'm not proud, I didn't want to. Concordance, Book of Concord, several translations, study Bibles. This is what our people are using. And they're being equipped. He says, I've been looking for this. And then he told his pastor, his former pastor last week, over at where we were for graduation. The pastor said, how are you doing? Better than I've ever done in my life. I would like to invite you. This is what he said to his pastor, Moravian pastor, campus pastor at a college. I'd like to invite you to come to our church. Is there a place for a Moravian pastor in a Lutheran church? If it isn't, then Luther wasn't telling the truth. If he was telling the truth, it means that we can get down. There are some people who've gone and made some discoveries. There are some people who've been on both sides of the tracks. Many Lutherans, I discovered, live in a very sterile environment. You grow up in a parochial system, you live in one, and if you aren't careful, and don't, I started to say luck up, but luck is superstitious. If you don't end up marrying someone outside, then you're in that all your lives. Some people come in and bring them. Do you know why many people are charismatic in the Lutheran church? I've asked them, and I almost got run out of New York for asking that. Many people desire something that is not being, and I keep saying, and I just said it again down in North Carolina recently to a very prominent charismatic, do you know what? If your congregation did what the Bible said, it would no longer be charismatic. It would be a regular Christian congregation. Because what you're talking about, except that speaking in tongues, everybody got to do it. That's not scriptural. But in terms of some other things that are crucial, I'm amazed that at a baseball game, you can tell the Lutherans, because they almost bring the bleachers down. But in a worship service, you can hear the mouse run up the clock. I'm amazed that the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, and in the Greek, what is that? Well, Hebrew even. Amen, amen. And the Lutherans are afraid to say amen except when they sing it at the end of a hymn, right? The freedom, not even then, you're right, there's hesitancy. The freedom is we can say amen. If we agree with what's been said, if we don't agree, don't fake it. Now, I realize there are church bodies where the folks start saying amen when they hit the door. They do not know what the preacher said. It doesn't make any difference. They go, amen, 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 amen. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about people who hear the word of God and say, that's right. And hopefully your churches are speaking that. Some folks say to me, why don't you be more emotive in your speaking? I'm emotive, but be more emotive like we're used to. And I say, because you wouldn't understand me. And if you didn't understand me, then I'd be in trouble. And if I died and stood before the Lord and he said, did you explain? And I said, well, I did. And he said, but they didn't understand you. Now, what am I going to do with you? I don't want to have to be put up with that. And I don't think you do either. So what I want to come back and say to you in this time frame is, I've made a discovery. God has helped me, insignificant Bill Parson, to understand that the essence of Lutheranism is not the tradition. You know, Jesus took issue with the Pharisees because the Pharisees said, look, why are your disciples, you remember, you know. Finish that. Who can finish that? Can you finish that, darling?
Plucking corn?
Right. But I call darling. Now, look, you're right. You are too. We started hugging, and folks said, some folks say, you all are strange. You hug. And I said, that's nothing. The old church used to kiss. So we just at the hugging stage, we're moving to kiss. Word until AIDS came up. Come back to, long story short, so you can ask probably some questions. The essence of Lutheranism, strip away all the veneers, all the traditions, many churches in our synod, I have discovered, are being run an awful lot by Lutheran tradition first, then God's word. The Lord straightened a lot of that mess up. Now, please understand me. I am not an authority. I'm simply a voice crying. In the wilderness, see, I got this down pat. The New Testament says, make straight the way of the Lord. So I'm a pointer, and I stay in trouble. I don't like trouble. I feel like Luther sometimes. I think he's going to have something for me when I get to heaven. Because what I'm saying to you now is, take a look at churches, at our churches. A number of them are governed by, I know pastors, I know members of churches who say, why can't we? And the question is, why can't you? We use page 15, 5, and 32 all together on Sunday morning. Okay? What's wrong with that? Would Luther be upset with that? Well, as some folk told me, you don't know any better. I'll tell you what happens. Our service lasts roughly, it started out going from 11 to 12:30, from 12:30 to 1. Now our service runs 1:15, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Please understand me. I am not the motivating factor. Okay? We sing, we go from classical right to gospel music when we get somebody that can play it. In our service, if you sit there long enough, you can pick up a number of different things. What am I saying? There's a freedom in being a Missouri Synod Lutheran. Now, see, I don't throw stones because I live in a glass house. I have sat with Lutherans from our brother, fellow, sister synods, and they have accused me and us of being a very uptight, legalistic group of people. But they don't stay long, because I like to point out to them the mirror. Look in the mirror. See who's uptight. See who can't venture. See who has to operate within the very stringent, narrow guidelines. See where it is. And now let's talk about freedom. What about a church in which people can come, and where there's something for folk, and where you discover that God gave me something to give you, and you something to give me, and us something to give one another, and that's the church. But what we all have in common is Jesus Christ, hope. The church fathers and mothers brought and came here and sacrificed for is what we are now confronted with. Will it be a religious freedom, or will our churches close it up again and make it into something that you got to get like me in order to? And what we know is, I watch sometimes, and we did a program, we do a lot of things. I was watching some Lutherans trying to Dick Koenig was playing the piano. Any of you know him? He plays the piano in a very special way. He's gifted. And he was jazzing up some Lutheran hymns.
Amen.
Okay? And to watch the people trying to, first they were trying to clap. And that's a little difficult. Everybody doesn't have rhythm. Then they tried to stomp their foot and clap, and that was funny. I fell off the chair. But understand, but the next day, many of those folk had that thing down pat. It was new for them. And they discovered it's all right to be Lutheran and clap your hands. It's all right to be. Well, I can tell you that. But I am thankful that I'm Lutheran. I'm thankful that God directed my wife and me to go to that little quaint building. Saw Jim Miller out in Colorado not too long ago, so I'm here last year. Delight. I thank God for him. And I, too, emulate and pattern my style in part after him and a number of other folk whose lives have touched mine. I'm thankful to be a Lutheran. My brother's a Baptist pastor, was one when I was still running around in the streets. I've been trying to convert him. And the reason I would convert him is because he's blood and I love him. And he had a son who was in trouble, just upset. And I had a catechetical health. And I said to him, what are you doing with your life? Anyway, long story short, gave him the catechetical help, walked him through some things. My brother teaches confirmation. Okay? And he uses the catechetical help. But, and it's like our family members, my wife and I are the only Lutherans in our family, except our daughters. Our family members will flock to hear me speak. We'll come for a Bible. Hey, let's do a Bible study. But as our daughters say, when they travel to different parts of the country, Daddy, we want to be Lutheran, but it's hard. And the hardness is when they go into a congregation, and it is so different and so inflexible that it doesn't allow them to be who they are. Where do they go? They're not Baptists. They aren't Methodists. They're Lutherans. But the Lutheran church can be foreign to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe I need to be more explicit. They aren't German. They like all kinds of music. I used to force them. If you want this, listen to this. And then after a while, I said, I'm through forcing you. You can do what you want now. Hey, that music isn't that bad. But where is there a church that meets them part way? Where is there a church that, with the warmth, with some other, well, we can build them. If they aren't out there, we can build them. Luther and this little book, and there are other books, but this was small, I could bring it with me. I like to travel light. Luther has for me outlined Lutheranism. You know, he didn't want it to be Lutheranism. He wanted to be Christianity. He has outlined it in a way that I, in my simplistic state, can hold on to it. And so I can come and talk to a group of you, astute individuals, men who've been in the ministry in the field for years. Some of you I know, powerful individuals in your own right. I can talk to you with the greatest of ease because I have no pride. I'm Lutheran. And God directed me to the Lutheran church. And I don't know how long I'll be Lutheran. Well, you don't either, because that plane today was an indication, you know, how quickly you cannot be Lutheran anymore. I don't know, but this much I do know. I enjoy, and that is not a bed of roses, Lutheranism isn't, but I enjoy the opportunities that are present for me. I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy the people who keep asking how, and I enjoy walking with and working with individuals toward a better understanding. Now, I've said some things to you, and I put them in a context intentionally. Perhaps a little question and answer will do some clarifying, and if not, I'd be happy to go back and briefly, succinctly summarize what I've said. Bottom line, a Lutheran I've learned is a person who has a right understanding of who's the boss, who did what, and is thankful for that. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Everybody who agrees with that and out of a response for God's great love through Jesus Christ, is willing now to let their hands and their hearts, like the hymn 400, and all the parts of you be used to the glory of God. To me, that's Lutheran. Oh, make sure you know the Apostles' Creed. Make sure you're working on the Nicene Creed. And make sure at least once a year you recite the Athanasian Creed. And that's on our way to becoming Lutheran, okay? God bless you on that. Let's see if there are any questions.
Okay.
All right?
Chuck Wheeler is on his computer in 5 minutes. So there's one question, and there will be a 1 minute and 30 second answer.
Very good.
Okay. Is there one question?
Lutheran organized.
Okay, Howie Patman.
Yeah, what the dog was looked like this year in North Carolina.
Oh, okay, that can be answered in 1 minute and 30 seconds. Tell him.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. That's a Lutheran answer.
Good enough. We'll have an opportunity for Bill to be on the panel tomorrow morning. And.